नारायणनमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततोदयमुदीरय नस्तप्रेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नास्ति. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 50-51. Please repeat. Achalauhideshapi Yata labdopacharakai Dravya siti atmalingani Nispadya proksya chasanam Achalauhideshapi यथालब्धोपचारकै द्रव्यस्थिति आत्मलिङ्गानि निष्पाद्य प्रोक्षशासनम् अक्षालौहृदयेषापि यथालब्धोपचारकै द्रव्यस्थिति आत्मलिङ्गानि Nishpatyaprokshasanam. Pāpyādīmupakalpyātā Sannirāpya samāhitaḥ Hṛdādupī kṛtyanyāso Mūlamantrena chārakaya. Translation. The devotee should gather whatever ingredients for worship in the deity are available, make ready the offerings, the ground, his mind in the deity, sprinkle his sitting place with water for purification and prepare for the bathing water and other paraphernalia. The devotee should then place the deity in its proper place, both physically and within his own mind, concentrate his attention and mark the deity's heart and other parts of the body with tilaka. Then he should offer worship with the appropriate mantra performed and translation by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Jaya. Ati Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Rajan Indriyai Seva Mukhihi Jivadav Swayam Eva Spuvati Adaha Padma Prana. The absolute truth can never be understood by ordinary material sense perception. The conditioned soul enters in the vain pursuit of material sense gratification are completely indifferent to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their materially conditioned minds always impure and disturbed the endless flow of material duality, such as prosperity and poverty, winter and summer, fame and infamy, youth and old age. Such disturbed and conditioned souls cannot recognize the personal presence of the absolute truth in the form of the deity. The Lord's incarnations are as Archavatara, the deity form, is a special manifestation of the Lord's mercy toward the materialistic or neophyte devotees who are still under the influence of material destination. They are unable to perceive the Lord in his eternal abode. Therefore, the Lord descends as the deity form, manifesting the Prakasa incarnation, and even the Swayam Prakasha, the original form of the Lord. The Prakasha incarnations exhibit various pastimes within the world. Whereas Swayam Prakasha, the Lord's original form, is the source of all avatars. To one who sincerely worships the deity, the deity manifests himself as the Supreme Person of the Godhead. Those who are most unfortunate cannot even recognize the Supreme Lord in his merciful deity expansion. They consider the deity as an ordinary material object. But by surrendering at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, one can learn to worship the deity as mentioned in this verse, and thus revive one's lost relationship with the Lord. One who considers such transcendental deity worship to be equivalent to idol worship is grossly covered with the three modes of material nature. A person wearing rose-colored glasses sees the entire world to be rose-colored. Similarly, those unfortunate living entities were thickly covered with the material modes of nature see everything, including the Supreme Lord, as material Don't be good to us. No one here can understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, black and the same. That's why it's not good. Namaste, Namaste. శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ వెంకటరామ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే కృష్ణ. సో వి ఆర్ ఇన్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ చాప్టర్ కాల్డ్ లిబరేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఇల్యూజరీ ఎనర్జీ. నౌ దిస్ ఇస్ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ బికాస్ వి హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ liberation from illusory energy. Now first, to even consider liberation, we must know that we are ensnared, we are trapped. Suppose say you are in the prison and you want to escape. You have to know that you are in the prison. But if you think that the prison is a comfortable hotel or something like that, I am here and one day to worry, you know, every three meals I get, I have to sit in my room, somebody sends me food, and I don't have to work, I get free clothing, I have got a nice bathroom for myself, I don't have to work at all, I'm very happy here. Now if a person thinks like that, then there is no question of escape. Similarly, first thing that we should know that we are ensnared, we are trapped in this material energy, this illusory energy. That's the whole chapter is talking about how to get out of this illusory energy. So many people don't even know that they are actually trapped in this. The Vedic scripture talks about Achit, Chit, Ishvara. Achit means matter, Chit means spirit, and Ishvara means controller. Achit, matter. Matter is ignorant with very, very dull consciousness. Chit, that is the living entities, you, me, the bird, me. They are all trapped in the illusory energy. The material body for a start. And then, because they identify with the material energy, body, then they want to enjoy through the body, and that's the total what you call entrapment. Now for Ishvara, he is supremely independent, and he is the supreme enjoyer, and he is also supremely conscious, supreme intelligence, supreme everything. But though we are part and parcel, we are supposed to be having all this in minute qualities. Because we are trapped in this material body, and then the whole problem starts. Now, the point is, we are trying to make so many adjustments in this world, the people are trying to do so many things. Why? To make them happy. So why would they want to make so many adjustments to make them happy? Because they are unhappy. The truth is, you are unhappy, and then you try to make adjustments. You want to do this, you want to go for a cinema, you want to go for a foodie, and you know, you want to, go for out happen, liquor, drugs. All this thinking that this kind of material adjustments will make you happy. And which is the greatest material adjustment? The greatest material adjustment is how the best forms of interaction for the male and the female body. Of course, with the alcohol and the drugs, and all included as well. Now, in the introduction itself, in this chapter, it is warned that such interactions or such adjustments, instead of giving you happiness, actually give you the reverse, which means it gives you more unhappiness. You actually can say it. I mean, you know, maybe when you're just staying protected in the temple, you don't get to see. You probably be thinking that, you know, everything outside is so beautiful and so nice. That is not true at all. In fact, it's so predictable. It becomes, you know, it's no more like a secret. It becomes so predictable. Practically everybody is suffering. And, you know, you work in a profession like me, you can say it. Everybody is literally suffering. They're making adjustments and suffering. And when they suffer, what they do? They make more adjustments. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, my husband just left me. What happened? My children are not as good. And then what do you want? No. When you try to switch to them even a little bit, I want some antidepressants. And it goes on like that. Adjustments and adjustments and adjustments. So it's a big entrapment. And the people, like coming from the subcontinent, the Indian, people from India especially, they come here, they think that, oh, we are suffering. They look at them, these people are very happy. Actually, they don't know. They just don't know. They don't know what is happening. So they think that this kind of adjustment is good for them, which is not true. Because when you, it is the same, you know, you have to understand, you know, materially advanced nations have their bigger problems, other problems. They may be materially advanced. The highest level of suicide in Australia is one of the highest in the world. People don't know. Japan, very high, one of the highest in the world is Japan, I think. So there are so many other things which are also there. Now, most importantly, the mind. You know, the mind is trapped by lust, anger, greed. Greed for power, greed for money, greed for so many things, greed for, you know. So in all this, what happens is we are having a problem. So how to solve this problem? Solving the problem is to get the knowledge, the proper knowledge. But what's happening in this, today's modern world is people are looking up to politicians, they are looking up at rock stars or even film stars for knowledge. Just because, and these film stars are these celebrities, because they are so famous and you know they got such a big following, they think it is their moral responsibility to give them guidelines. They are simply, they themselves lack this knowledge, and they themselves are in trouble. But somehow they take this, this mantle and give them what to do. But a point is, the Prabhupada father very, very nicely explains that these are all artists, whether they are actors or actors or film stars, they are all sudras. And sudras, they don't have knowledge. And they themselves are actually trapped. So, sudras can't impart knowledge. It's only the Brahmas who can impart knowledge. And very often you can see the same celebrities will tell you, oh, I make so many mistakes in my life. Because they're not infallible. Of course, they make mistakes. Because they don't have real knowledge. And then how sure are we that they will not make mistakes again? So, knowledge. Where do we get this knowledge? Knowledge is from, of course, the whole reservoir of spiritual knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why every morning we sit and breathe this Bhagavatam, so that we can understand some spiritual knowledge to help us get through. But sometimes a new Bhakta, Jim or a John or a Bhakti in Jill, might get confused when we discuss in the Bhagavatam class about elephants with wings and flying, and creatures with bird face and human forms, and they'll think, you know, are we here? Is this for real? Am I wasting my time? Should I be here? Should I be elsewhere? What's this guy talking about? Don't despair. There is a lot of information here which is very, very important for you. For instance, how this simple thing, like how does this body work? Even modern advanced science cannot explain how this body works, or as much as what the what is called Bhagavatam or the Vedic literature tells us. And by practicing the simple methods, you'll become, not only you become happy, it means the body, mind and soul. You'll also become happy beyond this birth. Now, but the point is, you have to understand that this knowledge has to be received in this proper way. That is, of course, time and time again it's mentioned here that you have to seek a spiritual master, and the spiritual master will impart this knowledge to you. Also, before writing this, there's something that, just like you mentioned, before writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva himself, the Lord appears in front of him and gives his blessings. Okay, now that you're going to write the stories about my pastimes, gives his blessings. And he also reveals to him the illusory energy that we are talking about. The Lord reveals to Yahweh, look, this is the illusory energy. And Yahweh has a glimpse of the illusory energy. And is mesmerized. Vyasa, who is supposed to be a partial incarnation of the Supreme Lord Himself, is mesmerized when looking at the illusory energy of the Lord. If it is so for Vyasa Himself, so how bad it can be for us? So, this illusory energy is not easy to overcome. But the method has been given to us. Now this whole chapter, this particular chapter, is a treatise on devotional service. And coming up now, we have come up one by one and finally come to daily worship. That's where we are now. So, we can say this is the condensed version of the nectar of devotion, and which ends in the daily worship. So, to understand more about this particular worship, daily worship, we have to understand the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is described in five positions. As Svayam Prakasha, the original form which is mentioned here, he is in the Supreme Abode. So that is the topmost position, Svayam Prakasha. Second position is the Vyuha. Now we expand. First is Balaram. Prabhupada very often explains. There is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. Krishna is black, Balaram is white. If at all there is a difference, there is only one difference, it's the color. So those are Vyuhas, expansions. And then the four-handed forms, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Sankarsana. So these are the Vyuhas, expansions. The third sphere is known as the Vaibhava forms. Vaibhava means pastime. These are the pastime incarnations. For instance, the Lord comes as Koma, He comes as Matsya, Anarsinga and all that. So these are the Vaibhava forms. The fourth is Antaryami. Antaryami, the Lord is so kind that He is even so, He is also dwelling in our hearts. He stays in our hearts itself. And it's not been only this particular birth, he's been doing it all time. Whether you were a cockroach, whether you were a monkey or a donkey, still the Lord has been so kind, he's sitting there with you all the time, as Antaryam. And of course, prompting us what to do, but most of the time we are smarter than those prompts. Then finally, the fifth one is what is known as Archa Avatara. That is the deity form of the Lord. He descends in the form of a deity, and because of this deity, it's the most merciful form, because otherwise you're not qualified to serve the Supreme Lord. By becoming the deity, then He gives us an opportunity to serve Him. Now, generally, in other religions, they discourage, they actually condemn this. If supposing another religion is a Christian or Muslim is walking, and they say, look at this, idol worship, they are all idols. And they are actually, what they are doing is, they diminish God's potency in response. God is so big. Allah, who is very great, they have gone and reduced it to a small dog. So that is the concept. But we have to understand in the Bhagavatam, when I first read, there is a statement called Kaitava Dharma. And when I first read this Kaitava Dharma, I was a bit shocked. Cheating religion. I've always thought, I mean, how can a religion be cheating? I just couldn't understand. I said, this is absurd. We were told from small that all religions are same and all the different paths and different things, whatever. And suddenly, Bhagavan says, Kaitava religion, Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. And so there is Kaitava Dharma and there is Sanatana Dharma. Now, what is this cheating religion? Religion pertaining to this body, thinking, you know, how to make yourself, you know, like improving ahahara nitra maitanam sort of thing, just concentrating on the bodiless stuff, that is considered cheating less. Whereas Sanatan Dharma is religious pertaining to the soul, spirit soul. So how to make this spirit soul, how to understand that there is a spirit soul, how to make the spirit soul happy, and finally, so though they think that this idol, this they consider this is idol worship, of course we call this deity worship. But most importantly, even in a scientific basis or in a practical basis, when you have this deity worship, what happens is it helps to control your senses. So it's an exercise for us. So we do this, we follow so many rules, we can't get drunk and then go and do this deity worship. We have to follow so many rules and regulations. By this following the soul, so many rules and regulations, it keeps us in a very, very sound state. And I was just watching a documentary 2 days ago, where this, you know, there's a Muslim pilgrimage thing. And they showed this thing where people gather. Of course, they say that the pilgrims are wearing white cloth, which signifies purity. All that is Vedic. White cloth, unstitched gowns. See, that's what you're supposed to do when you go to the deity. So all this is Vedic again. And then finally you go to a place and they are throwing stones at the devil. So a devil plays a very important role in the religion. Also when he reaches Mount Ararat, this pilgrim is saying, now this is a place, now you have to ask for God, whatever desire you have, if you ask, it will be fulfilled. Yeah, but they are losing out, in the sense, you know, if you know, then you can find out that, well, it's going to ask for some material desire. So, it cannot be in the Vedic standard, it cannot be a very high religion. But in a public program, we will always say that all religions are same and all that, of course. We have to put butter on your head. But in the Bhagavatam class, we have to say that the religions are different. We have to discriminate. We have to know the difference. We cannot. Like I was told, government was telling me that they have a program in dry interface. Of course, we will talk that all religions are same. Because, yes, same in the sense, because religions believe in God. But in practice, of course it's different. Isn't it? If we say, the cow is a mother, the other guy says, cow is my food. So there is difference. So we can't say it's all the same. And so we have to understand this. We have to understand the similarity, we have to understand the difference. Now, we have to understand more about this expansion, like the Lord expands. Generally, it is divided into two groups called Swamsa and Binamsa. Because very often in India they keep saying everyone is same, everything is one, they keep saying. But the way in which it's very clearly says there is Binamsa and Swamsa. Swamsa means the self-same form expanding. These are the Vishnu Tattvas. So they are actually different. When Binamsa, there is separate energy, which is the Jiva and the illusory energy. They are separate energies. After in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7 or something like that, Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu, Kammano Uddi Levasya, and it says Ashtara something, Vinna Prakati Ashtara, I think. Vinna, the word Vinna comes like separated energy. Vinna, the eightfold separated energy. So it's separate from the Lord. So they are not Swamsa, we are Vinnamsa. We are not Swamsa, we are Vinnamsa. Also, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu explains, he gives a whole lot, those of you who are interested to find out more about his expansion. There is Swayam Rupa, there is Tadekatma Rupa, self-same form, there is Swayam Prakash, of course, and there is Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa, Avatara, Avesha. All his expansions are very, very clearly explained. Now, Binna Prakriti or Binna Amsa when the Lord, when we are getting separated from the Lord, the Bible is saying, when there is separation, there is change. And if it is, there is a change, it cannot be absolute. So they deny the Lord as absolute truth. So this is a very important thing, you have to understand. Separation. Eku Bhusha. The Lord says one became many, he separated himself. Why? You want to enjoy it that way. As us. Now let's just say, the Lord is eternal, we are also eternal. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. But only thing is, we are not equal. We are equal in the sense, equal in the constitutional position, but not otherwise. So the Maya will say, since there is separation, there is change, and since there is change, there is no more absolute. Mahaprabhu explains, change, separation takes place in a changeless manner. How? By the Achintya potential, inconceivable energy. But how is that possible? When it's gone, it's possible. God can do anything. What's wrong with it? You have to understand. If not, if God has to do what all you are doing, then what's the point of becoming God? Isn't it? God is a very, very powerful position. So there is. So we have to understand that. Of course, I'm in this. What we have to understand is by this inconceivable potential. Of course, the famous example is you take $10 and you go spend $10. Within a few minutes, the $10 is diminished. But if the Lord, his $10 will go on, he can't spend it, but the $10 remains the same. So like that, he can separate and he will remain the same. Because when he's separated, doesn't mean he will lose his potential. He's still absolute. And it's not true to say everything, everyone is same, everything is one. This is a very, very common statement. It's not true. For instance, Lord Krishna, they say, oh, it's a very great, Krishna says that he is the expert in the 64 arts of knowledge. And because of that, Srila Prabhupada explains that since he is the expert of all this in totality, 100% he says, Sanskrit is. The closest being, Swamsam, that's Vishnu, he has 93% of this knowledge. Next closest being is Lord Shiva, who is 80%. And then comes, now this is already different. This is Jivamsa already, Jiva Tattva, that's Lord Brahma. And Brahma is only 78%. And if Brahma is 78, then you can imagine Indra, and then you go down, Devas, and finally, when you come to humans, I don't know how many persons we have. So we are different, we are not the same. So the difference is very clear about it. So, what I am trying to say, the whole point is, in this particular chapter about liberation from the illusory energy, we have to understand what is the illusory energy, what is our position, then we are trapped. So what are we supposed to do? Or it's very simple actually, you're trapped. Take matter. There are three things I said, Achit Chitti Ishwara. You're chit, you take matter, offer it to Ishwara, and then you get liberated. Very simple. How to escape? Take matter, offer it there, and then you're gone. It's that simple. So, but many people have tried many things. Now we were talking about this story. This whole question and answer is going on between Nimi and I can't remember his name. Anyway, so Nimi is asking all these questions and the answers are coming. They're coming from the Navayogendra, that's right. They are all children of the Rishabhadev. The first one is Bharata, and because of him is known as Bharatavarsha. And of all this, so one by one they are all questioning, all the nine yogis, now yogis are asking, Nini is asking them and he is explaining to them one by one. And the next chapter is the other person, Dhrumila or something like that. That's right, Dhrumila will continue in the next chapter. So who is this Nini? We'll like to find out more about this Nini. Nini is the son of Vishwa. in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, you know, that I first gave this message to Vivaswan, the sun god, and he gave this Ikshvaku, and then he gave it to Manu, and in time this, knowledge was lost, and now Arjuna I'm giving to you. Okay? That's what he says. So that's Ikshvaku, who's from the lineage of the solar dynasty, what is known as Surya Vamsa. And he was a very great king, was famous for being a very magnanimous person. He makes a lot of donations. And also he is very much into this sacrifice. He loves sacrifice. So once you want to perform a sacrifice, which will last for 500 years, and he approached his guru. Guru was Vasishtha, and told Vasishtha, look, I want to perform the sacrifice. I want you to come and lead the whole thing. Vasishtha said, no, I'm sorry, because Indra has already called me, and I'm doing a sacrifice for him for 500 years. Of course, Nimi was disappointed, and he was a bit dejected. He came back to Kala, and then he called Gautama, another rishi. And I told them, look, I want to perform a sacrifice. I said, no problem, we will do it. And so, this is going on. While Indra's palace, or in Indra's court, Vasishtha was doing the yajna. Same time, Nimi's court, there was also a sacrifice going on. So he finished it, Vasishtha finished it, and then he came, okay, now I'll do this one. What has happened is, Vasishtha thought that since I'm not doing it anyway, it's my disciple, he'll wait for me. But this guy is a yajna man. So he loves yajna. So he couldn't wait that 5 years, so he got the others to do it. Vasishtha landed the court and he finds all this sacrifice is going on. Vasishtha is very angry. When he's very angry, the servants run to Nimi's palace, he's sleeping. So he wants to tell them that, look, you know, Vasishtha is here angry. So when they saw the king sleeping, the servants thought, oh, I disturb him, we'll wait for him, let the king sleep. Now Vasishtha is waiting and the king is not there. That made him even more angry. And then he cursed. You don't even know how to respect your guru. And he said, you will be without a body and soul. I'm sorry, you will be without a body. Let your soul separate from your body. Which means death. And then the servants, you know, knew some of their answer to the king and wake him up and tell him, look, he was angry and he's thirsty, like this. So King Nimi runs to the court, falls at Vasishtha's feet and asks for forgiveness. But he will not forgive, nor he will not lose his anger. And then the unbelievable happened. Nimi got very angry and he came to curse. Said the curse, same curse, fall upon you, he said. You too get separated, you know, let your soul be separated from your body. And Vasishtha is a very powerful person, he was shocked. And of course he had high connections, you know, he had connections in the GBC. So he went straight, to Lord Brahma and told Brahma, look, what is this guy doing? He's cursing me. I'm doing my job. So Brahma said, yeah, but you know, you should have been not so hard on that boy. You know, you can't be so hard on him. So what do we do now? Said, okay, the only way is I can't take another birth to a female body and you know all that. And he said, alright, he said, okay, we'll solve this. Can't do anything now. You go to the ashram of Mitra and Varna, the devil of Tenan ashram. So you go there, emergency forget and stay there. Time will come and then you will be delivered again and as Vasishtha. So he was then abundant and overseas, one of the very, very beautiful goddesses saw Gandharvas who came there, and then there was it's a bit of a funny story here. And then seeing this beautiful maiden, and then there was a seminal expulsion, which fell into a pot, and much later this pot burst, you know, And out came both of them, Vasishtha and Agastya. So you find the video great that, you know, this Agastya came from a pot, and because of that they were funny names. Now what happened to Nimi? That's the story of Vasishtha. Then he of course is Vasishtha now and continues. What happened to Nimi? So Nimi tells Gautama and the other rishis, look, my curse, they have cursed me now. My guru has cursed me, what to do? And they asked him, and while he's speaking, he's only gone, you know, body is separated, he's separate. I mean, those rishis are so powerful. So they kept the body, they stayed away, chanted mantras and put medicines and made sure that Nimi's body is not decomposing. But the dialogue was going on with Nimi, with the soul. And so they asked Nimi, now what do you want? Do you want a deva body? Do you want a human body? We can do whatever you want. We can make arrangements for you. And so Nimi said, he's a yajna man. So definitely he wants a deva body. And he said, no, I don't want a human body. I just want, give me a deva body. So they gave him a deva body, sacrifice. And then he went back to Swarga, supposed to be enjoying this. Meanwhile, his body is still there. And then, what they did was they churned the body. Churned the body, and out came Janaka. This is the first Janaka, Janaka 1. So he was the foremost of the Janaka Vamsa. And in that lineage, you know, the father of Sita, whom Lord Ramchandra married, that Janaka was from that lineage. And that's the story of Nimi. So the story here also, when we talk about body and soul, so telling us that there is separation of body and soul, you're not the same, don't identify with the body, you identify with the soul. You must find out what the soul needs, not what the body needs. Bodily requirements are minimal. If you understand what the soul needs and then you act accordingly, then your life will be very, very blissful, even now. Hare Krishna, if there's any comments, questions? I'm not so easy. You can call me Prabhu, but yeah, but I'm not calling.
Prabhu?
Yes, that's fine.
Try to, you know, because I was born as a person that had eyes, not four eyes, but only three. And I was really quite horrified, I think, that what happened, that I could see. And then, I apologize for being so confused up to this point. But one doesn't achieve any degree of wisdom with the last rain cross.
Wonderful.
You know, they say, oh, it didn't come down in the last shower. Well, I say, it didn't come down in the last rainforest.
Oh. But the good point is, you've got realization. You said, I was confused. I mean, I think, you know, but the point is, you've got realization. So you've come to the right place. The point is, you can't understand all this immediately. You see, your mind has to be purified. And very often they ask me sometimes why do you wear this? They keep telling me. I said, oh, this is an antenna to receive signals from the spiritual world. Like, you have a TV at home, you know, you have to have the antenna. Well, like, what I'm trying to say is purification of the mind. You come, you keep chanting, and so it will take time. There are a lot of common sense here. There's a lot of common sense there. There's no common sense outside. Believe me.
I almost got trapped in common sense today, so I'm quite
right. I mean, just a few days ago, I see this young boy, and then the father and the mother and sister, I mean, all Australian family, this boy has been chosen for some puti or something like that. And they're saying, no, oh, we are so honored to have a son like that. And the son is saying, I'm so honored to have parents like that. Puti is a young boy, 16 years or something. He's an innocent boy. He's going to be a puti player. He's going to be a drunkard. He's going to be a womanizer. He's going to drunk. It's so predictable. What is so fantastic? They don't even know that it's just absurd. Nobody seems to learn anything. What's that?
May I say something as a follow-up?
Yes, please.
Observation and then on which I just wanted to say, being brought up in a I was in a Christian household, but it was an Anglican household, and of course various things told and that sort of thing. And then of course being in touch with my God, I heard the Catholic ideas, so I thought, oh, I like this better. And you know, going back for point, they're wrong, no, you're wrong. They're wrong. So that's why I'm, you know.
Yeah, but you see, if I tell you something, they never believe that the soul exists in animals.
Yes.
You know, I just read National Geographic the other day. They are saying about animals and their mental problems. They are seriously discussing mental problems in animals. So there is mind. So if there is mind, there is senses, of course, you can see, I think. So there is mind. They think of giving antidote. They already give. There is psychological treatment for animals. There is medical treatment like antidepressants for animals. It's unbelievable. The next thing is intelligence, and then is the soul. So if you really look at it, they think that the Hindu religion is like a archaic or a barbaric, or you know. But actually, when you read this Bhagavatam and all, and then you realize it's a very childish religion. You do good, you go to heaven. You do bad, you go to hell. Eternally. What about God's compassion? He doesn't give you. Then for a time they said there was certainty. Then for a time they said there was so many other things they said. And then in between they said there's not there. They're so confused. Now they again saying that there is purgatory. When you ask like, what about a child just born and just died? What happens? No salvation. And then everybody uses the word like karma. This heavy rain in Queensland because of good karma. The papers and the mantra and the pandit and the guru. All these words are being used. Pick your own definition. Mantra means man, means the English word mind comes from the Sanskrit word man. Tra means to deliver. By this chanting is Mahamantra. Any mantra. Most important is Mahamantra. Slowly your mind will be delivered. Alright? So keep coming. Don't worry. We may look like a bit of a crazy people, but we are not.
Oh, I don't know.
That's good. That's good. Hare Krishna.